Good morning. Are we blessed already this morning? Amen. How'd everyone sleep? Awesome. Praise God. Well, you all know DW is going to be your speaker this morning for your worship, but I want to share something special with you guys. DW, starting this Sabbath, April 2nd, his and Amber's testimony is going to be on 3 ABN, 9 a.m. and 1 p.m.
And two other times. But if you look on their schedule online, you'll be able to see it. In fact, we were blessed to be interviewed by Greg Morricone and Jill Morricone. So it was a huge blessing. And we're just sharing the love of Jesus Christ. And it's titled, Tell Somebody About Jesus.
Amen.
So if you're part of the Mountain View Conference and you're here at Bible Worker Training, you want to watch this because we are telling somebody about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And if we're going to be excited and encouraged to tell others about Jesus Christ, Amen. Then we need to see the mighty works that he is doing in all of our lives. Amen? Because we all have a story to share.
Well, before we start, he's already getting going. All right, but let's pray for DW together. Father God, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine. We thank you for the opportunity to come here and serve you and to learn more about you, to take to the rest of this conference, this country, and the rest of this world. Father God, please speak with DW. May the words that come out of his mouth be of you and come only from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. Are you awake? All right, I'm going to say a quick prayer too. Father, I thank you and I praise you for this beautiful, brisk morning with all the snow out there. And we just want to praise you that each of us were able to make it here today. And Father, I pray that you will pour out your Holy Spirit today into all the presentations, into John Kent, so that he will only speak your words, Father. And I pray that you will pour out your Holy Spirit into me, that you will hide me behind the shadows of the cross, so that we will only hear and see Jesus Christ. And Father, in this very short time we have together this week and during worship right now, I pray that you will say very much. And Father, I pray that each of us will leave here different than the way we came. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. We give him the glory, we give him the honor and the praise, and everyone says, Amen. All right, well, today we're going to talk about telling somebody about Jesus, but we are in the sub-theme of Noah's risk. So today we are in the sub-theme of Noah's risk. So again, tell somebody about Jesus, day one, and Noah's risk. So let's go ahead and go to our first text for today. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And the Word of God says, No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen? So as we open here, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to act like you haven't been through anything else that nobody else has. You see, there are no special trials or tribulations that God has made up just for you. Amen? Whatever you are going through, somebody else has probably already went through it in this world. Amen? God will never let us down, even in our trials. You see, the reason sometimes our amens can be so weak is we don't believe this. You see what I'm saying? I'll say amen for you. The reason our amens are so weak is we don't truly believe this. You see, we feel like we have things in this life that we cannot bear. And we can't bear our burdens alone, can we? But the text said that isn't true at all, didn't it? It says he won't push us beyond our limits. And that means if the problem is there, then it's your size. Amen? You see, God is building a people. He's building me. He's building you. And he's doing by constantly challenging us to expand beyond our faith and our spiritual capacity. Amen? I'm excited. Aren't you excited about Jesus and the works he's going to be doing through us this week? Amen? You see, this is why the trials will always get worse in our lives, brothers and sisters, because he is building spiritual muscles. You see, if you want to lift more weight, then you have to add more weight on to build up those muscles. If you're working out, you're not going to build up muscles until you add more weight. So if you want to tell somebody about Jesus, you can expect trials to build your spiritual muscles, to teach you what to say and what not to say, to teach you patience, to teach you grace and mercy and love and forgiveness and how to love and serve like the master servant Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? But this morning, I wanted to talk about something. I want to talk about Noah's risk. You see, we have to trust God because he never asked too much of us. Maybe you lost your job over the Sabbath, but God's fair. You got cancer, God is still fair. And God sees you as a person who can go through this struggle and this trial, and you will be able to get through it with the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, we have to believe that God, in the midst of the trouble, is not asking too much of it. But we have to truly believe that. We can't just read it. That's why today we are talking about Noah's risk. For there were no more than 10 million people who lived during this time, about like New York City, where Pastor Gustavo is from. And 90% of the earth wasn't even populated at this very time. So let's go to our first slide here. Let's go to Genesis 1 and verse 31 to get the proof. Our second slide here. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So here we are, the beginning of creation, and everything is good. Everything is very good. Amen. But by Genesis 6, what happens? The world became morally bad. And in Genesis 6 and verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Lord, have mercy. You see, these are people who lived hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. Can you imagine that? How much sin can you actually commit in 600 years? Think about how good you would become at sinning. You would be an expert at sinning. You would have a PhD in sinning if you are sinning for hundreds of years. And think about how good you would be at it. You see, they thought nothing but evil continually. Mercy. In Genesis 6 and verse 11, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So Noah, he was asked to take a risk, wasn't he? He was asked to take a risk to serve. Because each of us have been called to be born to serve, but not to stay here. Amen? So it would test everything in human terms with Noah's relationship with God. In fact, Noah, just like each of us this very day, had to ask himself, has God put more on me than I can handle? You see, all of us, we are here today. We are in different journeys and realities in our own lives. But we all have been called here today for the divine appointment to come to this Bible worker training. And the reason we are here is to learn how to win souls for Jesus Christ and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And that was Noah's risk. You see, with all the evil in the world, God singles out one man, and it is Noah. And in chapter 5 and verse 29, the Word of God tells us, and he called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work in the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. And Noah's name means to rest or to comfort. Amen? in Genesis 6, 13 to 17. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark. Cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it." So he tells them how he wants them to make it. He tells them to make a window for the ark. And thus Noah did what he was told to do. All flesh will be destroyed. Build a boat. Build the boat a certain way. And I'm going to send a flood. And the ark is for you, your wife, your sons, and your daughter-in-laws. Bring various creatures and bring enough food for you and all of the beasts. So when we go to Genesis 6 and verse 22, it says here, "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did it." You see, Noah is expected to do what he is told, even though what he was told defied his mental capacity. God asks us to live a righteous life, yet the Bible tells us that we all sin. The Bible tells us to be holy, yet the Bible says not one is good. You see, being a Christian is and will always be beyond our capacity. And the only thing that can get us through us is God. Amen. We can only be able to be a Christian with the Holy Spirit. To build a boat the right way, you need God. We need the Holy Spirit. So here is Noah's problem. And I'm wrapping up. I know that I'm going over. I know that we're late. But God has a word for you today. God has a word for you this week, because we've all been called to tell somebody about Jesus. Somebody has recognized the call in you to be a Bible worker, and you have been called and ordained by God to be here to learn how to go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ and His love. Amen? Amen. You see, this defied his mental capacity. And this was Noah's problem. If you're going to wipe everything out, then why am I preaching? You see, we've been called to preach and witness, but everybody that we witness and we preach to, they're not going to be saved. Not all of them. And sometimes we aren't even going to be saved. Mercy. You see, the problem is we need to get busy working and doing the preaching and doing the ark building, and let God do the saving. The job of the church is to do what God says, not to do God's work for Him. It isn't our job to convict individuals, for we are just here to preach the word, to spread the word. Noah didn't need to worry about anything but building the ark. Our job is ark building. It's God's job to do the actually all the saving, isn't it? Amen? It's God's job to do the saving, not ours. For here, this is an ark, not just any boat. And God had strict instructions on how to build it. Build it on a huge ark on dry land. And nobody in the history had ever even seen anything like a flood. Can you imagine this conversation? A flood is coming. A what? They only saw mist, right? So there wasn't rain. God is asking Noah to do something he can't understand. And today, brothers and sisters, God is asking each and every one of you to maybe do something that you don't understand why he's asking you or even called you to do it. Or maybe you're saying, "Why me? I don't know anything about the Bible. I don't know anything about giving a Bible study." Well, let me tell you something. 120 years passed. Noah, he was 480 years old and when he began to preach. And Noah had no children till he was 500. If you do the math, the major test for the faith of Noah and his wife, that the children that they did not have would marry women that were not yet born and then be saved from a flood that had not yet happened. So he preached 20 years without any kids with a promise that his family was going to be saved, but he didn't have any children, right? But he had that faith anyways. You see, his neighbors must have thought he was crazy, and he had to walk by faith and not by sight, for the just shall live by faith. For Christians always do stuff that we don't understand, but God tells us to do it, then we need to do it. It's time to make a decision today, brothers and sisters. Are you going to submit to God's will for your life? You see, he is building Noah's faith. He is building our faith. And God keeps his word on schedule and not our schedule. For his timing is always perfect. Amen. Number four, they had to get the animals. And number five, they needed enough food for the animals and the family. Not to mention the cost and the materials to build the ark. And you know, people must have thought that they were absolutely insane. But we need to have that same type of faith. We need to empty ourselves completely. We got out. We need to go out and witness God's word because God said to. Is it enough for God to just say it? Because we want facts and figures, but our faith isn't true faith until we don't have those answers. God doesn't need to give explanations, for he said it. So what is God telling you to do in your life today? And where do you stand as you go out to tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Because it is not up to your parents. It is not up to your teachers. It is not up to your pastor or your family. It is up to God, and we must trust the Lord with all of our heart, for he will direct our paths. And we know the rest of the story, 120 years of preaching, and only he and his family were saved, but he preached and he did what God called him to do, and even when it did not make sense, just to save the world. And in Genesis 50 and verse 20, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about it, as it is this day, to save many people alive. As I wrap up here, brothers and sisters, the devil is going to try to stop us. The devil was going to try to get in our way, but we need to surrender ourselves today and every day to Jesus so that we can go out and live that same risk that Noah lived. Because we were chosen during the last days because God knew we could handle going out and telling somebody about Jesus Christ. But my question for you today is this, and I wouldn't be a good pastor if I didn't ask you this question, because we always have to ask a question. Are you and Jesus enough? Or do you need somebody else? You see, we have reached the point, here where even if I have to leave my spouse behind, I am going to do what God tells me to do. You got to love me more than my father, my brother, your mother, or your sister. You see, God tests Noah down to the very first drop of rain. Amen? You see, God does what we cannot do. And just like Noah, we need to keep building the ark, and then God brings the animals and eventually closes the ark's doors and waits just 7 days. And just when Noah thought that he couldn't take it any longer, here comes the rain. Amen? It is 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. So again this morning, my question is simple. Are you ready to get on the ark with me this week as we learn together and surrender to God's will for us to tell others and soul win for Jesus Christ here in the Mountain View Conference and beyond? You see, folks, the time is short and we have to make our decision today. You see, the test was in the asking. Noah, do you really believe God would ask you to do something you could not do without his power? Brothers and sisters, when he gives us the risk of being a Christian, the test is in the asking. We just need to trust and have faith in Jesus Christ today. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this worship this morning. And Father, we know it went over a little bit long, but we know that your Holy Spirit is leading today. We know that your Holy Spirit is leading us through this week. And we know that, that we need your Holy Spirit more than anything if we are going to go out and tell others about the love of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray in a mighty way that you will be with our presenter, Pastor John Kent, today. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit. Hide him behind the shadows of your cross so that we will only hear and see Jesus Christ through his presentation. And Father, I pray in a mighty way that each of us can surrender to you and take that same risk that Noah took. Because some of us are scared to go out and do Bible studies. Some of us don't think that we even belong here because we don't know enough. But Noah had a risk that he had to take. And each of us have a risk that we have to take this very day. And Father, my prayer is your Holy Spirit will work on each and every single one of us to take the same risk that Noah took, not just the ones that are attending, but also the presenters and for all the pastors. Father, we need to relearn how to surrender to you each day so that we can do your will instead of doing ours all the time. Father, help us this day, and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. Amen and amen.